Tango Tango Papa 1688, October 5th, 2012. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. I've been home for the past, about the past 4 days. I got home on Sunday, and so I'm going back to work. I'm scheduled to go back to work Saturday, so I still have Friday. And then, so I got 1 day left here at home and then back to work. So, usually the time goes by, ends up going by pretty quick when I'm at home. And this time has been no exception. The week has, seemed to just fly by. So I've, really not done a whole lot. I've spent quite a bit of time, just here at the house, just kind of relaxing, taking it easy. Haven't really had that many errands to run, and so I've just kind of taken it easy. And I did go to the theater, and I watched a movie with a friend. I watched there's this Bruce Willis movie out there called Looper. That went and saw that in the theater, and that's actually a decent movie. Enjoyed being able to go to the theater. And then I've also been taking advantage of the Roku and the Roku box. So I watched a bunch of different commercial movies, and then I've also the last couple of days I've been watching a lot of. There's a lot of little independent films, little short films. People, you know, these films are made by aspiring directors, and some of them are actually amazingly good, even though they're produced on, you know, with low budget or no budget. They can be quite good, but you just have to kind of pick and, you know, pick through them. There's one of the services that's on. That has an app on the Roku is called Vimeo, V as in Victor, V-I-M-E-O. They've also got a website that you can watch the stuff on, too. It's Vimeo.com. I watched a movie. There's this movie. It's called Tell, T-E-L-L is the title. And it's 32 minutes long, and that's a movie that I would recommend. I think you can also probably find that on YouTube, the director of that, the fellow's name is Ryan Connolly, but that one is well worth watching, and then I've watched some other ones as well, and so you just have to kind of, the easiest way to do it is you get the remote control and you just kind of go through things and, you know, pick things out. Now, you can do the same thing, obviously, if you're on your computer, on a site like Vimeo or even YouTube. You just look, you know, you type in the right search terms, because most of the stuff that's going to, now this Vimeo site is more aimed at, it's sort of like YouTube, except it's really aimed at people that are making serious film efforts as opposed to their cat videos. Of course, YouTube is ended up being more about, or, you know, in large part being more about cat videos or whatever, people taking little videos of their cats or whatever and putting them up on YouTube. Vimeo is more of a, aimed at more, you know, people that are really trying to make films and tell stories. And some of these people, you know, if they make a serious short film and it wins awards and it gets some attention, that can end up causing, you know, eventually if someone's really good, they'll end up actually producing or being a director of a commercial film. And so there's some really interesting films, but you just have to kind of poke around and, you know, and you'll find some stuff that, you know, some of them are just a few minutes, maybe 7 minutes long, maybe they're 30 minutes long, maybe even up to upwards of an hour long. And of course, with the cost of the tools to produce films has dropped really dramatically. So you can produce some really professional looking and sounding films on really low-cost equipment, you know, compared to what filmmaking has been in the past. And you can, and you know, if you really know what you're doing, you can get some really super professional looking results. So, but you know, a lot of the, you know, it's kind of ironic, a lot of these short films, if they're well done, are actually better and far more entertaining to watch than a lot of the commercial films that, you know, maybe the so-called B movies. A lot of these short films can be much better than your average B movie. So if you've got a box like Roku, and that's what's so great about the internet, is that all of this stuff is available now, and it has distribution, whereas someone would make a short film in the past, of course they had to make short films, you know, any kind of a person that wanted to be a filmmaker, you know, commercial filmmaker had to start somewhere, and usually they start by making short films. Well, those would maybe get shown to some audiences or whatever, you know, in a theater somewhere, projected, and then the thing would just languish. But with the stuff being put online today, you can actually easily seek this stuff out, and anybody can get it. All you have to have is an internet connection, and especially if you've got a box like Roku that plugs into your television set, then you're in business. Plugs into your home theater. So it's pretty amazing. There's some pretty amazing stuff out there. Now, speaking of internet connections, of course, I still have my DSL here at home, and it's not really the fastest. It's reliable, and I'm very grateful to have it. But I've talked about this before. I had, I've had this USB air card from Verizon. It was actually originally, I got it from Altel, and then of course a couple of years ago or whenever it was, Verizon bought out Altel, and so I continued to keep this modem. And then I got a letter from Verizon, I don't know, about a month or more ago, stating that Verizon was shutting down the Altel stuff. And so, starting at the beginning of, in January, they were starting to shut this stuff down, and you would have to have trade out for a Verizon device. Now, of course, what Verizon has been doing in the recent past couple of years, is that if you switch from a Verizon device to one of the, especially in the last year, if you'd switch from a Verizon or an Altel device or any device that had unlimited, and of course that was Altel primarily, you switch to a Verizon device, no more unlimited service. Kiss that goodbye. So I had pretty much resolved that I was gonna cancel the Verizon air card. And so I called them up yesterday. I called them up yesterday. I called up Verizon. There was an 800 number on the this letter that they sent, and I called them up, and I got through to this woman pretty quickly, and I explained to her that basically what was going on, and that I was going to cancel, and the main reason I was going to cancel is because Verizon's been very adamant about not allowing anyone to retain an unlimited account, data account. And to my astonishment, she said, well, let me review, and she put me on hold. She said, let me review your account, and we'll see what we can do. And so I said, okay, sure. So she put me on hold for a few minutes. And she came back and she said, well, I'm one of the people, I'm prepared to offer you, I have the authority to let you keep your unlimited account, but you'll, you know, even though you're going to be switching to a Verizon 4G device. And, you know, it's $60 a month. That's what I've been paying for Alltel for, number of years now for that Alltel USB air card. So she basically gave me that offer, and so I have my pick of devices. I can either get another USB air card, or I could get what they call a so-called jet pack, which is basically it's a portable Wi-Fi hotspot. And you can connect up to 10 devices. So, of course, I just went ahead and went for it because, they're not charging me for the device. All they did, they signed me up for another 2-year contract. And it's still $60 a month. So none of that's going to change, but I'm getting this other device it's a Wi-Fi hotspot, and you can connect up to 10 simultaneous devices to it, to the Wi-Fi. Little Wi-Fi router, 4G Wi-Fi router. And when we do have Verizon 4G in my area right here where I'm at, we have 4G in Northwest Arkansas. And if you look at the 4G coverage map, a huge chunk of the country. And then, of course, the rest of the country is pretty much covered by Verizon 3G, with some exceptions. But it's mostly, so the country is pretty well covered. So I went ahead and said, well, yes, I'll take your offer. They shipped that, and it's supposed to get here tomorrow. So it should be here, tomorrow being Friday, be able to pick that up and get that tomorrow and then go back to work on Saturday. So that should give me a pretty good speed boost. That's up to 10 times faster than 3G. And it's going to be unlimited. So I accepted that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and cancel the, once that comes, I'm going to call, get a hold of Sprint or just probably go on their website. I probably could do that and cancel the hotspot feature from my plan, which I've had a hotspot feature on my Sprint plan for, 2.5 years or more. And of course, I got it on this new Galaxy S3 that I'm recording this with right now. I'll change the plan. I still have my Simply Everything, $99 a month Simply Everything plan. Still have that, but I'll cancel the hotspot plan because I'm going to have a separate hotspot from Verizon, and it's going to be very, very fast. And in fact, I can set the phone up with Wi-Fi and not even necessarily use the Sprint data. If I don't want to abuse the Verizon thing, but she looked back through my data and she said I used an average of 16 gigabytes a month. And so that didn't seem to really bother her at all. But I was kind of surprised that to not lose a customer, Verizon was willing to extend unlimited accounts. I thought that was pretty amazing. So, because they had the past year, they've been so adamant about getting rid of unlimited accounts. They've been really trying to get rid of any unlimited account that they possibly can. So I was really, really surprised that they would make that offer. So that ended up working out. Not the way that I expected. Because as I say, I was ready to just drop it and use this phone right here. I'm using it as my podcast aggregator and playback device, pretty much exclusively at this point. And I can make that work. I could make it all work just using Sprint, but it's going to be easier doing it through Verizon because Verizon does have a does have a, overall, they've got a more robust network, and especially with 4G. Now, Sprint, eventually Sprint's going to probably kind of catch up. And this Galaxy S3 does, it is capable of 4G. Now, right now, Sprint's only got a couple of places in the country where they actually do have 4G set up. And I haven't really gotten to play with it at all. So we'll just have to wait and see. But that's that Verizon, that new Verizon hotspot is supposed to be here tomorrow. So once it gets here, then I'll follow the instructions and activate it, and should have that available. So that's that should give me a tremendous speed boost. And you know, one of the other benefits is, since it's unlimited, I'll be able to, you know, and especially with 4G, I'll be able to watch a lot of that stuff on my iPad that sometimes I would have bandwidth, sometimes I wouldn't. So let's say I want to watch a Glenn Beck episode, like one of the daily episodes, then there's going to, and especially with 4G, Verizon 4G, I'll be able to easily do that. Or let's say I want to watch, you know, I was talking about Vimeo a while ago. Let's say I want to watch some of those videos on my iPod or my iPad or even on this phone. Well, now I'm going to have enough speed and enough bandwidth. But I can even do that here at home. When I come home, I can easily set the, you know, change the Roku, because the Roku has an Ethernet and it has Wi-Fi, and I can easily bring that Verizon hotspot in the house here and set the Roku up to, you know, while I'm home to attach to it, and gain a lot of enough speed out of it where I can watch the full high definition version of, let's say, Glenn Beck or a lot of these movies. Whereas the Roku, you know, the Roku's designed to kind of drop back if you don't have quite enough connection speed. It's designed to drop back on the quality. And if you've got enough download speed, then it you get the full high definition, the 1080p. And so that should work. So that was kind of an unexpected thing that happened. I was not expecting that to happen. That was just kind of out of the blue. So anyway, yesterday, of course, last night was the first presidential debate between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And initially, I wasn't going to watch it because, you know, lately there's just been so much, the press has been really going gangbusters like never before to try to dispirit people and you know, make it seem like that Obama's re-election is going to be inevitable, and there's no way that any, you know, Romney can win, and you know, our future's doomed. And they've really been pushing that, and so I've just kind of tuned out of the news. I still look at the Drudge headlines and what have you, and I still look at some of the articles, but I've kind of tuned out. And so I figured that I wasn't even going to watch that debate. I figured, well, the news media, they're going to try to spin it, and it just depends on how it went. Well, I ended up last night, I happened to remember, you know, it got to be later in the evening, it was after around midnight or so, and I happened to remember, well, I guess it was earlier than that, I happened to remember that, hey, there was a debate tonight. I guess it was about 11 o'clock. So I went on GBTV on the app on the Roku, and they had the debate, and then and then they had a news show afterwards talking about it. And so I watched it. You know, it was probably an hour or two after it actually happened, and I was pleasantly surprised. Romney, of course, really put on just a superb performance, and Obama was just flummoxed. all Obama could do, you know, and there's really, you know, people are saying, well, Romney had his facts, which he did, but Romney did not get upset with Obama. He did not get upset with the lies. He was able to just kind of forcefully, you know, state the truth. He was able to state the truth, and he did it with a smile, and he knew exactly what he was talking about, and it was obvious that he knew what he was talking about. It was obvious that Romney is the really, truly sincere. He really comes across as being sincere. And Obama, of course, you know, all he could do is, start twisting things and saying, well, he wants to, you know, $5 trillion and $2 trillion, and that just, where's the money going to come from? And Romney kept telling him that you're misrepresenting my plan. I've never said anything, you know, I've never had any kind of a plan like that, and so on and so forth. And Obama, he'd tried it several times to just repeat the same lie, and every time Romney corrected him. And then not only that, but Romney went through the litany. He said, how many people are out of work now compared to when Obama took office? Gas is up over 100%. The price of gas has more than doubled since Obama became president, so on and so forth. And no one has, the media has never challenged Obama. He has the media in his pocket. They've never really challenged him with any of these things. And all of a sudden, here he is facing Romney, and it ended up being, you know, there some of the liberals are kind of blaming McNeil, or, you know, Jim, or was it Jim Lehrer, the PBS guy? They're kind of blaming him. Well, he lost control of the debate. Well, who cares about that? I liked it because it ended up being more of a free flowing conversation between Obama and Romney. It ended up being a real conversation, and there was real back and forth. And you could see who was lying, and you could see who was telling the truth. And all Obama had, he couldn't really talk about his record. All he could do, he kept saying, well, hire more teachers, and, you know, the same old tired drivel. You know, where is he was peace, who's been president for the past 4 years? And then he even tried to, you know, a few times to go back and blame Bush. You know, about how, you know, we inherited this terrible economic situation, blah, 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 blah. And as if he hasn't been president for the last 4 years. So Obama was clearly just completely flummoxed. He was kind of stammering around. And, of course, he didn't have a teleprompter and he can't think on his feet. They've created this myth that this guy is just super intelligent, whatever, and he's not. Obama does a really good job usually of reading the teleprompter, and he can deliver a good speech. You know, he's delivered a couple of good speeches here and there, you know, in the past. He doesn't do it always, but he's not all that intelligent, and it became very clear that he didn't even know what he was talking about. You know, when he was he didn't know the details of his own programs. You know, he was just completely completely flummoxed. So I was encouraged by that. Romney, you know, I know there are people that don't like Romney, but Romney, I'll tell you what, I'm really impressed. You know, I came away really more impressed with Romney than ever. And Romney really has a, you know, this guy's got an impeccable character, just impeccable, and he's also got a very good grasp of, you know, how to turn businesses around, how to turn things around and make them run more efficiently and make them work. And this, he is exactly what the country needs at this point. You know, and this problem with Obama, it is, you know, Obama made it worse, but it's been going on for a long, long time. It's been going on under Republicans. Bush, you know, did some dumb things, you know, as far as spending money and what have you. It's been going on for a long, long time, you know, under both Republicans and Democrats. Obama obviously is, you know, really made it worse, but Romney, I believe, is the right guy at the right time, and he can come along and he can actually really he's set up to fix these things and to really, you know, turn the tides once and for all. You know, so and it's not going to be an easy thing, but Romney was there and he was just telling the truth, and he does a really good job of it. So I was impressed, and that kind of gives me hope for the future, and not hope. so you know that, well, we're gonna be, you know, life's gonna be easier or whatever, because it's probably not. We've spent a lot of money, you know, just incredible amounts of money, and I don't know how we're ever gonna pay it back. You know, and they've, you know, and all this money, you know, printing the money and what have you, the piper's going to have to be paid. but on the other hand, if we can just face reality, and somebody comes in and says, here's the real truth, this is what we're going to have to do in order to really to fix this, we're going to, you know, and it's kind of like if you think of your personal life, if you can spend money and you charge up your credit card and just listen to the Dave Ramsey thing, you know, and listen to these people call in. And it's usually always the same story over and over. They've got all these, they've racked up all this massive debt, you know, maybe real estate debt and credit, you know, massive credit card debt and what have you. And, you know, particularly the credit card debt. You know, and at some point, you know, the credit gets cut off, and then they're left. And so, but if, you know, and people have proven over and over again that if they'll just tighten their belt and they put their mind to, you know, I'm going to pay this debt off. I'm going to do it. And they put their mind to it, they can actually do it. And many of them actually succeed at it. So that's what's going to have to happen with the country. But we need the truth, and not this sea of lies all the time. You know, because, you know, you give me the truth, even if the truth is hard, I can deal with the truth. I want the truth, even if the truth might even be painful. Please give me the truth. But, you know, don't lie to me just because you don't want to. You know, it'd be like going to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, you've got a serious problem, but the doctor doesn't want to upset you, so he says, "Oh no, here, don't worry, you're fine. Here, just take this pill, and we'll give you some Xanax or something, and you'll be fine. Don't worry." You know, and so in the meantime, you're not facing reality. You know, because the reality might be painful, and so the doc, you know, and so who wants to go to a doctor like that? I want the truth. I want to know. I want the truth. I want to face reality. And I think a lot of people actually do want to face reality. And so that's what we need, is to face reality. And, you know, one of the things, you know, they were saying, well, what would you cut? You know, because that's always a favorite thing. You know, well, what are you going to cut? Give us some specifics. And so what Romney said, well, my test for deciding as whether or not something needs to be cut, is it worth borrowing money from the Chinese to keep that going? And if it's not worth borrowing money from the Chinese to keep it going, then cut it. You know, why do you have it? You don't, you know, why are you borrowing money from China? Would you be borrowing, you know, bring it to your own personal level. Would you borrow money from a loan shark? Simply so you could have, you know, buy this or buy that, or you could have this or have that, just because you wanted it. You know, that's absurd. You know, you don't borrow money just, you know, frivolously just so you can have this or have that and, you know, for whatever reason. You know, because most of that stuff you can do without anyway. You know, and the fact is, if you really do tighten your belt and you live within your means, sooner rather than later, you know, you may go through a period of, a little bit of pain where you have to kind of face reality. But then you begin to get a reward. And the reward, you do the right thing and you get a reward. So, over a period of time, you listen, you know, going back to the Dave Ramsey thing, those people pay their debts off and then they begin to actually save money and they have, a lot more, the discretionary income and their lives are much better. But the fact is, you know, and it's not just with money. If you do the right thing, if you can do the right thing, you do get a reward. And if you face reality, it might seem it's a little painful, but if you can face reality, there's a reward to be had for facing reality. So, so I don't know. I think there's possibly some hope for the future, but the news media is going to try harder than ever to try to get Obama elected. They're really going to try pushing that, and I think they're just they're going to end up cutting their own throats. They've already done that to a large extent. Because people are tuning out, people aren't watching, the cable channels and the newspapers. Their circulation is, and the number of viewers is just dropping and dropping and dropping. So people, you know, they are tuning out because they know it's a lie. They know that these things are skewed in one direction, and. And outlets that do provide the truth are doing better, and that's as it should be. So anyway, I'm looking forward to the election whenever I come home again, next time towards the end, come home towards the end of the month. Come home, a few days before the election, and then I'll be able to go ahead and vote, and it might be an early vote. I might not be here right on election day, but if not, I'll vote early. Be within the early voting, it's like a 15-day window for early voting in Arkansas. So, be able to vote, and then we'll just, in a month from now, I guess about a month from now, we'll know. Finally get this over with. But there's a price that's going to have to be paid. Even if Romney, Romney becomes president and we get some decent leadership back in office, there's a price to be paid for what we've done in the past 4 years. And really, we could have, if we were really on the ball, we would have impeached, a president that's as corrupt as the current one is. We would have been impeaching him and gotten him out of there. And, of course, we didn't. It's just, we're going to just wait. We'll wait and let him have his whole term and then get him out. And so, in the meantime, he's done all kinds of damage. But on the other hand, he's also caused a lot of people to wake up. And waking up isn't, not just so, you can have your prosperity and you can have your cushy life and so on and so forth. That's not why we're here. Waking up, primarily why we're here is to face reality. I believe why we're here is to find our God-given identity, and those of us that are inclined to want that God-given identity, we're kind of put into a situation where we are able to want it. You know, because I believe that God, you know, God created evil. It's right in the Bible that, you know, God created evil as, you know, God is good, but God also created evil. And so God uses evil and good, both as sort of opposing forces to sort of manipulate us or manipulate, you know, the subjects of the experiment, this grand experiment of Earth. He uses both of those forces to cause us, or, you know, cause the results that he wants. It would be like if you're doing an experiment or a manufacturing, let's say a manufacturing process. You've got this manufacturing process, and you're using different elements, heat and chemicals and what have you, or let's say heat and cold. You're using these, you know, in order to get the experimental results or the materials at the end, the elements at the end that you want. You apply these different processes during the experiment. And so we are in the experiment. I've always said we are in the experiment. We as human beings are not in charge of the experiment. We like to think we're in charge. Sorry, we're not. We're in the experiment. So God uses both good and evil to kind of get us into the position, those of us who are inclined to want to choose God, genuine God-given identity. God uses good and evil to get us and, you know, put us in a position where we're able to make the choice. And, you know, so it's kind of hard. If you can understand what I'm saying, it's kind of hard to put into words, really. But if you can use a manufacturing process analogy, then you can begin to understand it. But we as human beings are here, at least some of us are here, to be, you know, in a position to choose, because we want that God-given identity, and it's not forced on us. We are not animals. We're not the same as a dog, and it has to be a dog. It has no other choice but to be a dog. It's programmed to be a dog, and that's it. It's programmed. It's a marvelous programming. And it's even to the point where the dog is kind of aware of its surroundings and what have you, and it can even read human emotions and human facial expressions, but it's still a dog, and it can't be anything other than a dog, or anything other than it was created to be. Human beings, we have to learn to be human. We have to want the identity that comes from our Creator. You know, because the dog has its instincts, animals have their instincts, and they're slaves to those instincts. This intuition, this intuitive way of knowing, this, you know, common sense, God-given identity, whatever you want to call it, we have to want that. That's not forced on us. And thereby, God is actually able to create love in that sense. There's no other way of doing it. You know, how would you create, if you were God, how would you create a creature that would be able to appreciate your creations? How would you be able to do that? You know, because what good would it be if you had a robot that just said, you know, a robot, a biological robot in the form of a human being that says, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's what good is that? There's no awareness, there's no consciousness there. There's no conscious choice. So we as human beings are aware of our own existence, but we also have this ability to be aware of our Creator. And so that's why we're here. And it's really, it may seem complicated, but it's really not. If you can get to the point where you understand it, it all kind of ends up coming into focus, and then then it becomes obvious what's going on. But if not, it can seem very confusing, and you're in the dark, kind of groping around in the dark. And it has nothing to do with level of intelligence. It has to do more with a willingness, whether you have a willingness or not to see by the light of reality. And so anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off, see if I can get it uploaded. Got a little lazy. I haven't even carried the that MacBook Pro is the one that I usually carry in the house here when I'm home. That's what I record the podcast on in the truck usually, and I haven't even bothered to bring it in out of the truck. It's out there locked in the truck, so I'm recording it on the phone, and I'm gonna do like I've done this before. I recorded on this Galaxy S3. I recorded a podcast on it, and I uploaded it. I can upload it from the phone using FTP to the server, and then post it, and it works just fine. So I thought I'd just do that. That's kind of easier, and I could have gone out and carried all that stuff in, but just like I say, I just didn't feel like doing it. So anyway, hope everyone is having a great week. Weekend's almost here, and I will catch you later.